A reading from Paul's second letter to the Corinthians. We entreat you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. As we work together with him, we urge you also not to accept the grace of God in vain. For he says, "At an acceptable time I have listened to you, and on a day of salvation I have helped you. See, now is the acceptable time. See, now is the day of salvation. We are putting no obstacle in anyone's way, so that no fault may be found with our ministry. But as servants of God, we have commended ourselves in every way, through great endurance, in afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger, by purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, holiness of spirit, genuine love, truthful speech, and the power of God, with the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left, in honor and dishonor, in ill repute and good repute. We are treated as impostors, and yet are true, as unknown, and yet are well known, as dying, and see, we are alive, as punished, and yet not killed, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, and yet possessing everything. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Beware of practicing your righteousness before others in order to be seen by them, for then you have no reward from your Father in heaven. So, whenever you give alms, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may be praised by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your alms may be done in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And whenever you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, so that they may be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And whenever you fast, do not look somber like the hypocrites, for they mark their faces to show others that they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that your fasting may be seen not by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father, who sees in secret, will reward you. Do not store up for yourselves treasure on earth, where moth and rust consume, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consumes, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart shall be also. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts always be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. The liturgy this morning for Ash Wednesday is all about penitence and fasting. And the readings today are pretty sobering stuff too. It's all a bit miserable, isn't it? I want to focus on those last three verses of the Gospel. What are we to do with our treasure? If we have treasure, what are we to do? Jesus refers to two kinds of treasure. Treasures on earth and treasures in heaven. And here we're presented with this comparison. Treasure in heaven cannot be touched by human hands, whereas the treasures on earth can be so attractive that they become targets. When a natural disaster strikes a community, looting becomes a problem. Opportunism feasting on a lack of security. The desire for more takes over. I'm not going to comment on Ukraine, but you can have your own thoughts on that one, what's going on there with the treasures of the land there. What has struck me in the news recently is this trial to do with the theft of a solid gold toilet that took place in September 2019 at Blenheim Palace. You might have seen it on the news recently. It was part of an exhibition. A work of art was this toilet made of solid gold. And do you know it was called America? An exhibition item. Fully functioning too. So when it was taken, the water was left gushing into the palace. And this toilet weighed in at 98 kilograms. Now, if you're not sure what 98 kilos is, it's 15 and a half stone. Those who took it had clearly done their homework at how to extract this treasure from the palace. Well, if it was used, it must have been a very pleasurable experience, I'm sure. Treasure in the Bible has a much deeper meaning than the treasure I'm referring to here. The treasure Jesus is speaking of carries a much deeper meaning than material goods and wealth. And he shows his treasure in a favourable light. The treasure he invites us to store up cannot be ripped away from the walls by crowbars and sledgehammers. What is treasure? It's something we value highly. And that, of course, can be a special ring or an item of jewellery. But I'm sure you would agree that it's more about the emotional meaning or history of the item that's important, or the effort that was put in to obtain it. It could be the most precious things to us are actually low in monetary value, but what has made them treasure is the history behind it. Who gave it to us? What effort did we put in to get it? One vice of mine, one tendency of mine, perhaps, is when considering a purchase, I do like the best I can afford. Within reason. Even the clerical shirts I wear, bought from the now defunct Whipples, perhaps because they were so expensive, but I don't know if you have a Whipples shirt, David, do you?
No, I'm afraid not.
So. Oh, right, okay, sorry. Well, Whipples shirts...
I buy the cheapest I can find.
Right, well, Whipples shirts were about £15 more expensive than the other suppliers. But they've never faded. They wash and wash and wash. I bought cheaper shirts when I was ordained, and within 2 years I'd replace them. But they just wash so well and don't fade very easily. So I think they've been worth every penny to me, actually. The camera I have was not the most expensive, but neither was it the cheapest. But what's of real value isn't so much the camera, it's the images it takes, the memory card in it. When I've been out and about, the first thing I do at the first opportunity is to transfer those images from the memory card to a hard drive. And those images are backed up because it's the images that are so precious. Those pictures can't be recreated, what have been taken in most cases. There could be special treasured moments. Though expensive, the camera is replaceable and the photos are not. If those photos were lost, though, and I went to the insurance company, I think they'd put zero value on those images. No, just not worth anything. But to me, very precious. The emotional value of losing those would equate to heartbreak, but I could get over losing a physical possession. Although perhaps one day, generations down the line, some great-great-great-grandchild who thinks, who on earth was that, just does delete or whatever. But the precious now, in my time. These words from Jesus about storing treasure give us two key points, I think. Firstly, the earthly storage systems are not foolproof. The theft of the golden toilet is the prime example. Of course, we need to make sensible provision in the best way we can provide for ourselves and our families. As I read from 1 Timothy this morning, we brought nothing into the world, we take nothing out. In ancient and traditional society, treasures were stored in palaces, temples, shrines, places where it was understood that the rulers and gods lived in that place. If you wanted treasure, you had to get past the gods. Secondly, the Bible teaches us that heaven is the dwelling place of God. Heaven is where we're destined to live forever. The flesh will die, we are dust, and to dust we shall return. But the body takes on a spiritual dimension. The spiritual body that Paul writes about is indestructible in Christ. Since believers in the Bible are regarded as being God's treasured possession, as were the people of Israel, known as God's treasured possession, it follows that heavenly treasures are different to worldly treasures. And those treasures are alluded to in both readings today. Paul writes that he's always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, and yet possessing everything. Jesus spoke of helping the poor, describing it as a way of storing treasure in heaven. It seems right to me that alongside a desire to grow spiritually in Lent, that our Lent project will enable us to store some treasure, though we are giving something away. If we reach that target to repair the borehole, will that not bring so much happiness and joy to some people who have so little? Fixing a borehole in Malawi will be an amazing thing for this church to do. Not that we seek reward, though nonetheless we're told in those readings there is reward, but we don't seek it. It is an act of storing treasure in heaven, which the Father in heaven will know about and will bless. So Lent, a season of growth in faith and devotion, A season for blessing others. You know what? Lent can indeed be joyous after all, and not a season of misery. Amen.